From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Children of the Night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host with the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever wonderful, ever vampiric, ever cape wearing, ever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Count.
Oh, hey there, Bob. Yes, another week of Bob After Dark here. Of course, all platforms, but Bob, I gotta say,
yeah,
my cape is matching my polo today.
It's you have like a little V-neck dip going on there.
I think it's just a button is loose.
I'm not complaining. That's
we'll go with that. We'll go with that, Bob. Yeah. But yes, kind of matching here today. Cape's got to match the polo here tonight on Bob After Dark, where, well, it feels like a Monday because the extended holiday weekend, but really, it is Tuesday, and I only know that because you're on the air here, Bob. So
absolutely.
Tuesday night, of course, time for some Bob After Dark, where we got a real humdinger.
We do have a hum. Is that the proper terminology, humdinger?
A humdinger, yes, Bob. A humdinger. That's what they call it. A barn burner. Some like to say a barn burner. I'm an episode tonight, Bob. I know you got a lot to plan. A lot of times I've left in the dark, but from what I know about the episode, it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks for that good introduction, folks.
Yeah.
And for our fans watching on Jed TV, folks, remember our chat room is open on there as well as on Facebook.
There you have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't say yeah anymore, Bob. Yeah. Yeah.
So count.
Yeah.
Because the fans are going to get really grumpy really fast if we don't get the weekend update from you. So let's get the weekend update.
Bob, I had a nice weekend again. A restful, long holiday weekend here for Memorial Day, and pretty low-key stuff. I mean, had a barbecue, of course, Monday. I know a lot of folks like to do that. So saw some family. Uncle and aunt came over and grilled out some burgers and some hot dogs, so that was nice. And after that, you know, of course, a little rain set in, but nothing too drastic. But it was nice overall, a cool, crisp, restful, and I say restful, weekend.
You say
Bob.
Restful.
Yes, so. Not too bad. Not too bad at all. How about yours?
Man, my weekend was interesting. I pulled the day job on Saturday, and I volunteered on the day job on Sunday, or for Monday. But Sunday was a very special day. Very special.
What happened?
Okay, so long story short, Friday I got hit up by a person, and we're going to share their name here shortly because it's a whole story. I got hit up by a person really late in the evening on Friday. Somebody added me and they were saying, hey, you know, paranormal fan of what you do. I'm coming into town and I'm working on this documentary about the Chicago Mothman sightings. And I was wondering if I can interview you. Oh yeah, sure. You know, I'm happy to help out somebody's project. It's not that big of a deal. I said, is it just something you're filming on your own or are you part of somebody? And name's Heather. Heather says, yeah, I'm Heather with Small Town Monsters. Floored. Instantly floored. Small Town Monsters, if you guys don't know, is a documentary film series about cryptozoology in small town America and different sightings all over the country about, you know, cryptid sightings and different monsters, the monster scenarios that go on. My personal favorite one is the Beast of Bray Road one they did about Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And that one was really good. But you can check all of them on Amazon Prime for the most part. They have a good chunk of them there. But the next one in their series that's coming out on December 7th is going to be called The Lake Michigan Mothman, which is our sightings here. And Heather asked me to be a part of it. I did everything in my power to make sure I was available for this, for the show, for the movie set. And I went there, and it was a real, like, you know, spiritual experience to be a part of it and share my experience and to do an interview with Small Town Monsters. There's somebody you look up to in the paranormal world, because I mean they're you know, top tier. Seth and Heather and their crew, they were all amazing people. I really thoroughly enjoyed meeting all of them. It was really cool to be a part of that. I was helping them location scout for different scenes. I had them in Wahala Beach but Whiting Park for stuff. And it was a really eye-opening experience to like my life, and just it was a really cool accomplishment. Because not only did I get to talk about me and, you know, the Mothman stuff, but I also got to talk about Bob After Dark, mm-hmm. which is very yeah. important, not a normal. So I that was my big weekend update, was like being back into that world for a moment. It was a lot of fun.
No, for sure.
Being able to share that, my experience and whatnot.
Yeah, Bob, and I was looking at your pictures, and it seemed like a fantastic weekend. Nice video package being prepared there. You were in your full getup as well.
I was like, you know,
what is Bob doing in his full getup here?
That was a full Bob yeah. After Dark. That was a full Bob After Dark like getup, man.
Amazing.
My convention best, as some people say, or my show's best when I travel for Bob After Dark. That was my full outfit for that.
You put out all the stops.
I did pull out all the stops.
Pull all the stops. Yes, but yeah. So obviously, there's a process that goes to this. They got to put it together. Now.
Right. Yeah. Seth, the gentleman that runs Small Town Monsters, said this one will be out by December 7th, and I'm really, really excited about
that.
Just in
time for the Yuletide.
Yuletide, yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm looking really exciting for all of that. So Small Town Monsters, thank you, Seth, and thank you, Heather, for making that a possibility for me, for being able not only to share my Mothman experience, but you're allowing me to expose my show on a national level, international too, which is really amazing. So thank you, Seth and Heather, for allowing me to be a part of Small Town Monsters. As far as my Memorial Day, nothing super special. Worked my day job.
Of course. Well, that was a good weekend though,
yeah,
Bob.
Yeah, no, yeah. That was my weekend. That was really cool. Other cool thing, Count Panic, is conventions are opening back up.
Yeah.
Which was a really cool experience. Like, I just, you know, everything hit me all at once. So I'm going to be looking at applying to conventions here soon again, getting back on the road for Bob After Dark and doing some of my important life's work, getting back in the swing of things and getting back on the track of what's important in my life.
They are opening back up, Bob, that's for sure. And I got to get this out of the way here, too, because I remember...
We have an update.
Yeah, last week, what was it? Maybe the last episode, two episodes ago. I mentioned I got a comment here from Sweden. Sweden. Somebody in Sweden heard the Bob After Dark promo commercial that plays overnights here on WJLB. I guess they were listening on their TuneIn app and heard the Bob After Dark commercial. And they were like, hey, we heard your commercial here all the way out in Sweden. Well, I got some updates now from Switzerland. Yes, that's white Switzerland. Wendy from Switzerland. Wendy. She chimed in. She emailed me, to
Wendy.
Be exact. Wendy yeah. from Switzerland. The email goes as follows. So this is kind of like a shout-out here. Tony, heard you read a text from Sweden on the air. Just wanted to let you know that Bob After Dark comes in loud and clear. I listen on-demand version of Jed TV, so she tunes into Jed TV to watch the show. But she says Bob After Dark comes in loud and clear. Cheers, Wendy Z. in Switzerland. So Wendy Z
in Switzerland. You. Thank you so much for checking the show out. That's very sweet of you, all the way out in Switzerland.
Switzerland, Bob. Did you ever think that you'd be heard in Switzerland?
Yeah. So
oh, really,
I'm not. Maybe not. Yes. Okay. Let me explain. So when I'm not doing the live show, the show lives in podcast land. We are powered by Memoriam Development in the podcast world. So, you know, but I'm part of the podcast network, Memoriam Development.
Mm-hmm.
And in podcast land, I get to see the statistics on where people are listening from.
Yeah.
I get my demographics and how many people are listening and where people are listening from. A couple weeks ago, I remember when this first broke out that we had people from Switzerland listening. I was talking about Costa Rica, and we were kind of a big deal in Costa Rica, but we had viewers in Costa
sure.
Rica. But it was really interesting because, like, you see the demographic and where people are listening from. The Australia stuff never surprises me because it's where Anthony's from. But you know, you see people from like South Africa, you see people from India and China, which we, when we got accepted to their podcast networks, that's pretty cool. But Switzerland, Wendy, nice to meet you. I was going to drop some German, but I don't think that's the mother tongue of Switzerland, so I'm going to pass on that so I don't look like an idiot. But hello and cheers to you, Wendy. Thank you for watching Bob After Dark.
Yes, Wendy, cheers to you. No, this is not officially a... We only cheers for the whole start. We'll make an exception.
We're going to make an exception. Okay. Thank you for reaching out to us from another country, Wendy. That's really cool. So cheers to you. It's not an Apple Podcast review, but we'll take it nonetheless.
So cheers. Cheers.
So cheers to you, Wendy. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
All right. Now, Count Panic, let's talk a little bit about the show.
Sure.
If this is your first time watching or listening to an episode of Bob After Dark, how the show works is we split the show into halves. The first half of the show is where we talk about news. I know it sounds not as exciting, but the news segments that interest me, so these are news articles about the paranormal, the weird, the strange, the cryptid sightings, ghost sightings, advances in science that are borderline on science fiction, or just overall spooky stuff.
Of course.
Yeah. And then we read a little bit of news articles that are, sorry, the reviews we get in from the weekly on the Apple Podcast world. And of course, we move into the lore of the week.
Lore of the week.
Lore of the week.
Okay.
Lore of the week.
Lore of the week.
Lore of the week. Yes. It was just, you know, we need a da-doom. The lore of the week. Da-doom.
A voiceover guy. Brick coming in and say
you
that.
You know, can we get a voiceover guy? Is that in the budget?
We can find somebody.
Is that in the budget?
Yeah, we can find somebody.
I think it's in the budget.
Yeah.
Put it on the Bob After Dark.
Put it on the tab. Put it on the tab.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. But anyway, Count Panic.
Yeah.
Are you ready? You never actually even told us what you did for the weekend.
Oh, a barbecue.
Did you eat anything good?
Yeah, burgers and a hot dog. Potato salad.
Potato salad.
You like potato salad, don't you?
I mean, sure, I guess.
Oh, I thought everybody loves potato salad. Who doesn't?
Do you know what my favorite thing to get at a barbecue is?
Favorite thing at a barbecue?
Favorite thing at a barbecue.
How about...
Mine, specifically. Remember, I don't eat meat.
No.
No.
Favorite? Cheese curds.
Yeah, the famous barbecued cheese curds.
What is it, Bob?
I like corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob.
Grilled corn on the cob is... some of my favorite thing in the entire planet. A little butter, a little salt, 10 out of 10.
So you're saying if there's a barbecue out there and somebody has corn on the cob, you would gladly go to that barbecue.
Gladly go to that barbecue.
All right, keep that in mind, folks. Keep that in mind. Bob likes corn on the cob.
Absolutely.
Fun fact.
Fun fact.
Bob fact.
Hashtag Bob facts.
Yes.
You know, Pat's got his Pat facts on Ghostly Podcast. I feel like I feel like we could have the Bob facts, except mine aren't going to be about the paranormal. It's just going to be random things.
Likes corn to cob at barbecues.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, let's move on. I got the news stories of the week. These are, again, the creepy news stories where we get different things about the world that are weird and strange. Our first story comes to us from Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. We actually had a fan listen from Zimbabwe before. We have one. One fan from Zimbabwe that listened to Bob.
Do we know their name?
I do not. I know nothing. I think they listened to this show one time, and that was it.
They were big fans, then.
They were big fans. They never came back.
You left them speechless.
So, by the way, for the record, folks, I understand over the past few weeks I've been relying a little bit on Mr. Tim Banal from the Coast to Coast news articles sites. It's because Tim Banal does a really good job from Coast to Coast. A lot of these articles are really well written, really well researched, and they're a lot of fun to discuss. I promise you we're not going to be writing on the tailcoats of Coast to Coast every week, but it just so happens that Tim Banal has been a very big help over the past few weeks.
Of course.
So our first and only story from Tim Banal this week is from Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe.
And the story is labeled, "The Ghost Burglar Busted in Zimbabwe." Authorities in Zimbabwe busted a burglar who had devised a rather clever scheme wherein he pretended to be a ghost and scared people into fleeing their homes so that he can rob them. According to a local media report, the strange series of capers reportedly unfolded in the city of Masvingo, that's M-A-S-V-I-N-G-O, where the subject would allegedly don a skeleton suit and then sneak into the house of the victims. Upon seeing this eerie interloper, The terrified homeowners took off running, and in turn, the burglar was able to rob them without any resistance. However, it would appear that in his reign of terror was short-lived, as one resident stood their ground and ultimately wound up capturing the man, who was unmasked and revealed to be an individual by the name of Norman Chagwiza, Chagwiza. Police investigating the case say that the man struck multiple homes using the fog ghost routine until it fell apart. Adding insult to injury, Chagwiza, in his amusing costume, wound up online and went virtual in Zimbabwe, with many social media users laughing at the appearance. There's some photos of the skeleton outfit, and it's
terrifying.
It's absolutely ridiculous. It's like bad Halloween costume skeleton outfit. I mean, I give the guy credit.
Yeah.
But
He tried.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm not trying to give criminals any credit here on the show, but
no.
You know, that's definitely a thing.
He did his best, Bob, and that's the end of the day, all he could ask for. But some people just don't have the... Well, wait, I guess you got to ask for my... Go ahead, Bob. Hit me with the thing.
Hashtag panic steak.
Yeah, Bob, like I said, some people aren't gifted in certain areas. And obviously, this person didn't have the gift of maybe creating a costume. Yeah, you call it a costume, I guess.
Yeah,
but you know, at the end of the day, like I say, he tried, Bob. Maybe next time it'll be more of an elaborate costume. But until then, this is what he's stuck with. Yeah. I wouldn't try this at home, though. I wouldn't try this at home.
You wouldn't try this.
No,
I also wouldn't try this at home, because the simple reason is that you're going to bust into the wrong person's house, and that person is going to shoot you, or stab you, or fight you off, and you can end up dead very, very quickly. So things you shouldn't do in somebody's home: break in and try to steal.
Yeah. Never break in somebody's home.
No.
That's our PSA for today.
That's my PSA. Don't break into somebody's home, and don't break into somebody's home dressed as a skeleton.
Even worse.
The ten times worse.
What would be... Say, Bob, you were home, and you saw a skeleton coming through your home.
Uh-huh.
I mean, do you just sit back and say, oh, boy, that's kind of spooky, or do you attack yourself? What goes on?
Wait, hold on. Go back. What?
Say a skeleton breaks into your home, Bob.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do?
Hammer.
Oh. You're right, because the hammer will break down the bone.
Yeah, the hammer's going to break that bone down.
Yeah, okay.
100%.
That's
hammer.
That's smart. That's smart.
Stop.
Yeah.
It's hammer time.
Yeah.
Sorry, MC. Please don't copyright claim my episode.
It'll be all right. It'll be all right.
So don't break into people's homes, and especially don't break into people's homes dressed in a skeleton outfit. That's my... my paranormal PSA for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're good, Bob.
Thank you, Count. All right. Ready to move on?
Sure.
Okay. So this story actually came to us from the another Chicagoland station, Rock 95. They talk about the vampire fisher making a comeback in the American River. Yes. All right. So an unknown creature known as the vampire fish are making a comeback in the American River. This comes to us from CBS 13. Local divers have been spotting them throughout the week. The Pacific lamprey, also known as the vampire fish, is long with leathery skin and has a jarring set of teeth. It looks like some sort of sea creature from the deep, Carl Bly said to CBS 13. Bly has been exploring American River for over 40 years. Recently has taken a GoPro with him to capture footage along the way. I've captured sea lions, river otters, crawdads, and lots of crazy things, he said. But nothing is as strange as seeing the vampire fish. According to Bly, this would be high up there as a very rare sight in the American River system, but apparently they're there. Although they aren't seen very often, the vampire fish actually calls California waters home. It is native to California and to the American River, Peter Tyra said with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife. The fish earn its name because they attach themselves to a dolphin or a shark or a whale and suck on the host of the skin to feed off its nutrients. Mm. And they're apparently not harmful to people at all. They are absolutely horrifying, though. It's literally like a giant vacuum hose in the water with like vampire teeth at one end, and it's I'm staring at a picture of it right now, and it is absolutely horrifying.
This is, and we gotta put this on the Children of Night page too.
I certainly will. Okay. I'm gonna copy that right now. Well, and we're gonna post it over the Children of Night page.
Well, I'll wait to hear your final thoughts there.
No, you go on ahead while I'm doing this.
My take?
Yeah, let's get your panic take.
Okay, fish in general, Bob, kind of terrifying. Even the simplest fish out there, maybe there are fish that just goldfish, but still there's an element that's terrifying about them. You can see in their eyes, if you look deep into their eyes, you see something's off. So when you tell me a vampire fish is out there, and the vampire fish, the name alone sounds terrifying. That's two things together. Vampires are terrifying, I would know, and fish can be terrifying. So you got these two elements together, working together. It just makes for a deadly combination, Bob. I'm not a fisherman, Bob.
Uh-huh.
I'm not one to go out there and fish. I've done it maybe like a couple times in the Boy Scouts. But I would be terrified, absolutely terrified,
yeah,
if that were to happen.
We have a caller.
We do have a caller, Bob.
Take him live.
We'll take it live.
Yep.
Take it live.
Hold on. Before you speak, caller, I'm going to assume this is John, and I'm going to feel really silly if it's not. Might not be. Who are we talking to?
Oh, I'm David. First time I caught your show.
Oh, hi, David. Thanks for listening.
See, you were wrong there, Bob.
Oh, sorry, David. We were assuming our normal first caller of the night's always our old listener, John. But hi, David. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, normally I call Jim's show in the morning, but first time I caught an evening show over there. Hey, you know, I used to work out on the Mississippi River, out on the towboats.
Okay.
And you were talking about that vampire fish.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sounds like a lamprey eel. And if I remember right, and it's been like the 1970s that I worked out on the Mississippi River, and they had already infested the Chicago River. So you've got similar near you. If I remember right, the way they got there was the ships that went into Lake Michigan from the Great Lakes were carrying them in their holds, and when they discharged, you know, they've got ballast in the holds of those big ships, and when they would take a load on, they'd be able to drop their ballast, which is the water that they had sucked up somewhere else, and they had grabbed those lamprey eels in some other, you know, if they had been down, I'm not sure where lampreys come from, if maybe on the down in Brazil or someplace or another, but they got infested in Lake Michigan and the Chicago River, and were just playing hell to, you know, all of the native fish stock. So it's not just in the Pacific Coast where you have vampire type of fish. You've got, I believe they're the lamprey eels that are stuck up there in the Chicago River.
Huh, today I learned. And this is, are we talking about the same thing here, Dave, with the their weird-looking tube things with like a mouth at the end that looks like legitimate vampire teeth?
Well, if I remember right, the ones that I'm talking about, it's like a round mouth, and it's like a circle of teeth.
We're probably talking about the same thing, yeah.
It's
close.
It's a sickening-looking thing, and you would just, let's say it's not erotic.
Sure, no, that's fine.
And those things, they'll come up alongside whatever type of fish there were in the, you know, in the Great Lakes up there, Lake Michigan or the Chicago River, and just latch a hold of the side of the, you know, the host fish, and just eat its, or suck its guts out. And, yeah, it's a nasty way to go, I'm sure. And they were a big deal 40-something years ago.
I had no idea. Dave, I actually, this is like the one rare time where I could legitimately say today I learned something that like correlated with what I was talking about as I was doing it. That was fascinating, and I really appreciate the odd coincidence that you were listening at this time, because now you maybe never want to swim in a river again.
Well, what you were just reading there was saying that they were not a danger to humans, and that's probably because it takes a little while for them to latch on, I think. I would bet that humans can swim too fast for those babies, or they're... I can't say for sure, but I doubt if there are too many humans up there. And, well, there are not too many humans that would even dare to jump in the Chicago River.
Not alive, at least.
But, just a little fun fact for you.
Sure. No, Dave, actually, that's great. I appreciate you sharing
David,
that.
Before we go here, where are you listening from, David?
Oh, I'm out in California.
California.
I'm listening online out San Francisco.
The TuneIn app, or where are you listening at?
No, Facebook. Yeah, seeing you over there. So
oh, all right, David.
Well, thanks, David, from San Francisco. I appreciate you.
Sure, sure. And if I remember right, those lamprey eels are not good eating. Oh. But, you know, if you've got some fishermen who are listening, maybe they can give you a line on what things are like up there, because even 40 years ago, they had gotten to be such a problem that the sports fishermen were terrified that they were going to extinct a whole bunch of different fish. And in fact, if I remember right, they started in the Chicago River, and I don't remember if they had gone all the way downstream to the Mississippi and then gotten up into Minnesota. But it was really getting to be a danger. And, you know, the ship holds, I think they were trying to make sure that the ships, once they got past Detroit or someplace like, maybe even before the, Lake Erie, Niagara Falls, right? Normally those lamprey eels and whatnot would never be able to swim upstream to be able to get, you know, like the Niagara Falls. There was no way that they would have gotten into the upper lakes. And so if I remember right, even in the 70s, they were trying to force the big cargo containers to discharge their holding tanks and then take a new load to be able to go into the upper lakes. But it was almost too late, and because they were killing off everything that moved, and but like I say, if you've got some sports fishermen that have got maybe more details on what things are like up there.
Yeah. Today I learned. I shared a story about a vampire fish because of the name, and David came through, and actually, David is now the Jack of Fish.
Knowledge.
David, thank you so much for calling in. I actually really appreciate that.
Sure.
Then,
figure out a way that you can eat them, and maybe we can eat them back. Yeah.
Have a good one.
Take care.
That's a good way of putting things.
You know, listen, I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I did not expect that call tonight from somebody who actually was going to teach me about these things. I go back and forth about the fish thing, and I'll get to that here in a second. But these fish things are actually completely horrific, scary looking. I just posted it up on the Children of the Night page, guys. So if you get a chance, dive over to the Children of the Night page and check that out. And you can see what they look like. It's scary. Yikes. You know, in these the fish thing, right? So there's days when I really like fish, right? I like looking at them. The thought of owning an aquarium or going to visit
an
aquarium
fun to look
is
at.
Very fun to look at. But then you get the scary-looking fish, and they give me the heebie-jeebies sometimes. Not that I'm legitimately afraid of fish, but it's just like that weird look on a fish.
I
or like
say
the
that
weird
exact same thing, Bob. They're kind of terrifying.
Exactly. It's just kind of like a weird thing. You look at fish and they're very strange. It's off-settling sometimes. But I like fish at the same time. You know, a normal fish that's going to hang out in a bowl or come chill out with you, whatever. That stuff's fascinating to me. But I don't know. That's my two cents. And now that I know that these things were hanging out in the Chicago River and these things are horrifying, I'm never swimming in another kind of place like that again. I'm going to stick to pools.
Well, Bob, you know, we grew up here in the region, Northwest Indiana. Sometimes we'd swim in bodies of water that we may have not should have been swimming in. Look at we turned out fine, Bob, I think. I don't think we have anything wrong with us. I think we grew up pretty normal, if you ask me.
Absolutely.
Pretty normal.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Makes you think.
Makes you think.
Except for that third eye.
Yeah. All right, moving on to our last story, okay? So, somebody bought something.
Okay.
Yeah,
they
bought something. This comes from thedrive.com, by the way. It's an automotive website, and I never thought in a million years I'd be quoting something from an automotive website on the show, but I am. Somebody bought something, right? I'm going to explain what it is, because this correlates back to something we had on the show a few months back when we talked about the Haunted Cars episode, the James Dean car. I can't say the name of it, but it was little fill-in-the-blank, swear word, FCC will come and get me. It was a Porsche, and the transaxle, just the transaxle, sold for $382,000. It was the famous James Dean wrecked, you know, thing, and it was the it was salvaged from the Porsche 555, mm-hmm. the 550 Spider. We talked about this recently. It's got a new owner, right? And we're going to read this. This is written from Rob Stumpf. The transaxle salvaged from the James Dean Porsche 550 Spider has been found its new owner. The Curio plucked the remains of the movie star's last ride, recently landed on a bring of trailer, where it was sold on an astonishing $382,000 as a much brand new Porsche 911 Turbo S. Oh boy, that's a lot. It's a lot more. That price is a lot more than a normal Porsche. We're just going to get to that point, because that was a very long list of car names that I'm not prepared to talk about, because I'm not a car guy. Despite its intended use as a gearbox, the transaxle won't be used to power one of the few remaining Porsche 550 Spiders that exist today. Instead, the new owner will be as a part of a showplace in a museum to outline the car's history. Huh. I wonder who that could be. Somebody bought a cursed object for $382,000 and is putting it on display at their museum. I wonder who that could be. Let's read on. When enthusiasts first saw the Porsche transaxle land on a bring trailer, it was obvious that the part was going to be a rather astonishing, you know, would be at an astonishing price. After the hammer dropped, the winning bidder revealed that it was purchased not for another car, but to be on display in a Las Vegas museum. Who do we know that has a haunted museum artifact? Oh, by the way, that was a bit, everybody.
That was a good bit.
The winning bidder of the $382,000 was none other than our old friend, Zach Bagans.
Wow.
Zach Bagans, the documentary filmmaker and paranormal investigator featured predominantly on the Travel Channel in the mid-2010s. He also has a show called Zach Bagans' Haunted Museum in Las Vegas, which earns its notoriety for being a displaying unique pieces of the occult. Now, the horror-themed museum will feature the transaxle alongside other infamous automobiles like Jack Kirkman's 1968 Volkswagen Transporter van and David Corse's 1968 Chevrolet Camaro. And to quote Zach himself, to own the only piece of history, which was probably the most famous cursed item in the world, and be able to display it at the Haunted Museum for all of those to see, is like striking gold as a collector of the macabre and the haunted, Bagans stated in a Las Vegas review. I've been drawn to the curse of the fill-in-the-blank name of the car for years, and I about died when I heard the transaxle was actually going to be an auction. Bagans said that he didn't know how high the bidding would go, but for the supposedly cursed relic, he knew for one thing for sure, he had to own it. I'll skip the rest because it was just talking a little bit about the car story. If you guys are more interested to hear about that, the Bob After Dark podcast, it's available on demand for you guys to listen to whenever you're available.
Of course. Of course. Well, Bob, I want to give my take, I think.
Hashtag panic steak.
Bob, is there nothing this man buys? It seems like every time there's something out there, he swoops it up. How much money was this?
$382,000.
Now refresh me about. Okay, say I was out there, Bob. Say you wanted.
Okay, no problem.
Say you wanted.
Say I'm going in on a bidding war against Zach Bagans. Is that where we're getting?
Is he that? Where does he get the? Is he that wealthy?
Yeah.
Is he that wealthy?
That man's a suit. He's like
300. That's a lot to spend on a car.
Let's bring it down.
I'm not trash.
No. That's fine. I gotta bring myself to a level.
How does he make the money?
Zach makes a lot of money because he has 3 or 4 TV shows that are very successful on the Travel Channel.
There you go.
Zach had that very, you know, starstruck, haunted documentary a couple years ago. You can watch on Amazon about an actual place here in the region.
Yeah.
And Zach also has this museum that draws probably millions of attendees a year. Zach's got a lot in that museum. I need to see it in person. It's why I'm planning a trip to Vegas here very soon. And I can't believe I'm saying this out loud, but I'm going to Vegas literally just to pay Zach Bagans money. and you guys can all take away my credibility card. That's fine. But I mean, there's not many places I could see the rocking chair from the Devil Made Me Do It case or the original Dybbuk box. Fill in the blank.
Well, until there's a Bob Museum.
The Bob After Dark Haunted Museum is open now, even though I just gave away the last artifact I had. The latest artifact I had, which was the Haunted Spoon.
You gave it away?
Gave it to Pete.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Pete was very nice to invite me on that one. So.
Well, Pete gave you that clown, that haunted clown in the glass case, right?
No, that was Jacob Foreman gave me the
clown. Oh, yeah, you were showing it off to Pete. Yeah,
yes, I was showing it off to Pete. That was, remember that time we hooked it up to the speaker and it said something really nasty?
Yeah, you brought it to the haunt.
Yeah, I took it to the investigation.
Yeah. Terrifying.
Oh,
terrifying.
Boy. That makes me so happy. And knowing that this certain individual now owns this priceless artifact just brings a tear to my eye.
Well, it's in a better place.
It's in a place.
Yeah, it's in a place.
You know, I, did you give me your hashtag Panksick? I'm sorry. I'm a little sidetracked because not only did I read a story about an automobile, but I also read a story about a certain somebody buying probably one of the most cursed artifacts in the entire world. And he has like a trifecta of these things, man. He has everything.
Well, I mean, obviously, when you buy something that's haunted.
Uh-huh.
You put it in a museum.
Yes.
Obviously, it's contained, like they do something to contain it to that museum, right? Because otherwise, the museum might just go crazy with haunted objects.
I'm assuming Zach probably has an army of priests, psychics, rabbis, witches, shaman, fill in the blank people that are going in there and blessing those grounds on the norm.
Yeah.
If you're on the hashtag team believer side of things, you have to understand that that is a lot of energy being contained under one roof. You got the Dybbuk box, there's just a lot of things in that building. I'm assuming he has somebody going in there and blessing it on the norm.
Yeah. No, for sure. Well, like I said, Bob, if you got the money spending on things you enjoy, and he obviously enjoys spending it on haunted items and haunted artifacts.
Yeah.
So,
I'd listen. If I had $382,000 just to drop, that's what I guess I'd buy.
Yeah.
All right, you ready for a review?
Yeah.
All right, we got a review.
We have a review. Okay.
We have a 5-star review.
Nice.
5-star review. Hold on 1 second. Let me open it up here because it's. I don't understand Apple Podcasts sometimes. They cut things off like mid-read. It just says here, this is from our pal, 313GBRicky. 313GBRicky leaves a 5-star review with a title, Bob After Dark is the best paranormal pod, ..
Wow.
Thanks, Apple Podcasts. I appreciate you for doing that. I don't know what it says. I have this on full screen and everything. I'm going to assume it says best paranormal podiatry podcast.
Maybe that's where it ends.
It's just
..
That's pod. It's just my best paranormal pod. And I know pod's short for podcast. Maybe that was what the intent
that
was.
That could be it. I think that's it.
Or maybe it was an abbreviation. Podiatrist.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on. Bob and Count Panic are part of my weekly routine. Listening to the show feels like you're just hanging out with your friends and talking about spooky stuff. Thank you, Ricky. That's very sweet of you. I think Ricky goes by Dez now. So, Dez, to you, thank you so much for the review. I deeply appreciate it. And as always, because we have a 5-star review, Count Panic.
So this is Tube.
This is Tube. Well, we cheers Wendy because Wendy was from Switzerland and specifically wrote an email just to say Wendy listened to Bob.
True, but 313 is different than...
313 is in Detroit. That's a little different than Switzerland.
Oh, that's... Okay, yeah. I thought 313 was their name that they were going by.
No, I think that's... I know this listener very well. Dez is a dear, dear friend listener, fan of mine. So,
all right.
To you, Dez, I appreciate it very much. Cheers to you from me and Count Panic at the Bob After Dark team.
Yes.
Thank you for the review.
Yes, cheers, Dez. Thank you. That's good water.
That's good water. 10 out of 10 water, if you will.
It's, to be exact, purified nice water.
Folks.
Local store.
Yeah. Folks, did you enjoy that toast we just gave?
I enjoyed it. I enjoyed toasting.
If you enjoy toast, Sorry. If you enjoy getting toasted by me and Count Panic, the easiest way to do that is to go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Believe it or not, we read every review that comes through, so even if you decide to leave us a 1-star review, I do read them. You just might not get it right on air. Maybe I would, but either way, 5-star reviews, you get the cheers. 1-star reviews, Count Panic will come and find you.
Yes. Boo you. Boo you.
Boo this person.
Shame. Shame.
So, 5-star review, thank you so much. Leave it for us and get yourself toasted on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Count Panic, before we go on our break here, I just wanted to say something. Today is June 1st.
June 1st.
And June 1st kicks off Pride Month. And I just want to say from the bottom of my heart to all my fans, all my children of the night, I just want all of you to know that I am very, very proud of everybody that is good to each other in this world. And during the month of June, I just want to say that love is love, and I care about every single one of you. Do not be afraid of who you are. If you're coming to, you know, if you're having trouble coming to terms with certain aspects, or if you're having difficulties in that world, make sure you reach out and get help. There are avenues for you. And if you need a hug, I got you. Don't worry.
There you have it, Bob. Very nice.
I just wanted to let all of you know that this is a very important month for me, and I do care about every single one of you.
Perfect at that.
Yep. Count Panic, you ready to take a break?
Right now, Bob?
Well, you ready? Unless you have something.
I am ready to go.
I got something.
The logo ready to go. I was stalling so I could get the logo up here, but yes, we are ready.
Okay. So. Okay.
It's ready to go.
I'm all discombobulated today, folks. All right. To our live audience, stick around. We'll be right back. And to our podcast fans, stay tuned. You're about to be hearing words from a show that you should be listening to. Stick around.
Hey, true believers and new believers. This is Dr. David Hickney. I am a PhD in cryptozoology from MIT, and I'm the host of Freak of the Week. What's Freak of the Week? It's a podcast where people can call in to talk about all the crazy creatures and phenomena that are out there. Join me, my co-host, Dr. Elizabeth Marin, who may or may not be my sister. Spoiler, she is my sister, as we discuss such amazing topics like the ghost of Dave Coulier, the lost city of Miami, aliens, feline warriors, and much, much more. Freak of the Week comes out every week, hence the name, on Fridays. See you then.
And we're back.
There you go.
Hello, Count Panic.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Oh, it's going well, Count Panic. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good, Bob.
That's good. Good talk, Count Panic. What did you do during break?
During break, Bob, and I'm glad you asked. But during the break, I went fishing.
You went fishing?
Catch some vampire fish.
You went to go catch some vampire
Not
fish.
As terrifying as you would think. Actually, they're pretty mellow. Pretty mellow. I can't complain about the little guys. But that's what I did during the break. How about you, Bob?
You know, Count Panic, I took up something as a hobby.
What'd you take up?
I took up yodeling.
Yodeling?
I took up yodeling for our fans in Switzerland.
Beautiful, Bob.
Yeah.
Do you want to share?
No. I'm not good enough. I don't want to embarrass our fans.
No. Not even a little bit?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't want to embarrass myself all in right. front of our
You're still learning.
Our fans.
You're still
in
learning.
Switzerland.
Yeah. You're all still right. learning.
I'm still learning. Yeah. All right, Cal Panic.
Yeah.
I feel like we're revisiting this topic not this topic, but this general location just recently. And I feel like we're about to have some deja vu from a couple episodes ago. Count Panic, when you think of Indiana,
okay.
What do you think about?
When I think of Indiana, Bob, well, of course, I think about corn.
Uh-huh.
And there being more corn
uh-huh.
in Indiana. Uh-huh. Of course, I think about the sand dunes, the gorgeous sand dunes we have.
Yes.
I think about the mill and the gorgeous mills we have. But, you know, stuff like that, Bob. Those
somewhere my
things.
Dad is yelling at you from the radio because I know him and my mom listen every week.
Yeah.
And my dad's like, all right, nothing beautiful about that mill.
Well, you know,
worked the mill for like 46 years
yes.
and supported everybody in the house. I don't have anything bad to say, but it's not the most attractive place in the world.
To be fair, yes.
That's home to me, though. You know, that smell of sulfur in the air, that's home.
Working in it, agreed. But I feel like just watching it, like just parking from afar and looking at it, it's kind of like Disney World. A giant steel mill.
Oh, my God. Let's move on. You know, Kyle Panik, little did you... I feel like this is deja vu because we just talked about this recently. But little did you know, in the little state of Indiana, that there could be holding a deep, dark secret. And in the state of Indiana, we have a specific place that we're going to be talking about tonight. And that is the story of the Whispers Estate.
Yeah.
To quote the Whispers Estate specific website, whisperestate.epsi.com, you can also find their pizza deal because they do paranormal investigating on a third floor and they'll bring you pizza with your paranormal investigation. I digress. Here's the history of the house. The Whispers Estate was built in 1894 from the earliest discovered records. In 1899 or 1901, depending on which source you reference, Dr. John and Jesse Gibbons purchased the house from the original owners, Dr. George and Sarah White. Dr. John and Jesse Gibbons reportedly adopted abandoned orphan children. One of these children, a 10-year-old girl by the name of Rachel, started a fire in the front parlor, being badly burned, and died 2 days later in one of the upstairs bedrooms. Yet, you can still hear and sometimes see her running around the house today. A 10-year-old infant, Elizabeth, died in the master bedroom of unknown causes, but there's still a scent of baby powder, and you could sometimes still hear her cries. Jesse died in that same bedroom after a bout of double pneumonia. Guests sleeping in that room are often awake to labored breathing and coughing. Some even report feeling as if someone is sitting on their chest. The most common paranormal activity in this room is that the closet doorknob will frequently jiggle for a few moments, stop suddenly, and the closet door will pop open. The maximum reported count of this relatable occurrences is 5 times within a couple of minutes. This, of course, required persons in the room to close the door each time. Dr. Gibbons was a predominant doctor in the town, having his office in the first floor rooms in the house. Given the time period in the medical field, it was likely that many of his patients died during his practice of the 26 years in the home. Stories of subsequent owners and occupants suggest other have encountered their own demise, such as a gentleman in the 50s and 60s that died in an upstairs bathroom. A young boy that died from a falling down from a staircase, recently spoke with the relatives of the little boy, got name and keywords, and more. In 2006, the previous owner bought the house after it being vacant for a few years. During its restoration, strange activity started to occur. Activity in the house continued, and even increased substantially, earning the name Whispers Estate, after guests reportedly hearing disembodied voices whispering in their ears. There are supposedly 4 graves in the backyard, not including what psychics have called a pit grave, which they say contain amputated limbs, internal organs, and among other things. There is reportedly a portal/vortex, which in the paranormal community, think of it as a centralized point where a lot of energy is all at once, that runs up through the house, in from the front parlor, into the third floor room attic. The room in the attic is said to be the heart of the house. Guests that brave enough to sleep in the third floor room report horrible nightmares and sometimes hear something trying to get into the room via the door, with a doorknob jiggle. Visitors have reported seeing a shadow, which has now been called Big Black, an entity which psychics say is not of this world. While most commonly encountered in the doctor's rooms, it has been seen throughout the house. Guests have experienced earthquake-like tremors while in the doctor's bathroom and feel as if the floor is shaking. EVP sessions have revealed that there may be many entities in the house at any given time, but you don't always need recording equipment to hear these disembodied voices at the Whisper Estate. Many young women have reported hearing Dr. Gibbons whisper in their ears, as well as sometimes grabbing or pinching them, we'll say. Guests claim to see beds and couches visibly shake, while still others sleeping on beds and couches have reported having them shake violently. Investigators often do rounds throughout the house at different times throughout the night. Sometimes upon leaving the servants' quarters, just after the last person exits the room, a solid, heavy wooden door slams with unrestrained force by an unseen presence. There are times when guests notice a pleasant smell of baby powder that drifts throughout the house, but the scent of pungent cologne, aftershave, cigar, tobacco, rancid meat and cabbage, dirty medical bandages, and more also happen and are not that uncommon. Guests have reported that their recording camcorders can be moved by an unseen presence, thereby disturbing the viewpoint of an intended target. If you are not completely freaked out and think that you have what it takes to spend the night at the Whisperer's Estate, please contact them for a reservation, and maybe you yourself will have a paranormal experience at the Whisperer's Estate.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yes.
I don't know if I want to stay. It doesn't sound too...
You know, I think Pete's actually staying there.
Really?
Yeah.
He goes everywhere.
Pete does go quite a bit of everywhere, doesn't he?
So that's still open to the public, then.
It is. You can book it for a paranormal investigation, and apparently, if you want to stay there, you want to stay on the third floor, because that's, like, on the website for you to book the room to stay at the Whisperer's Estate, they really predominantly tell you to stay in the third floor, because it's air-conditioned and heated. I don't know about the rest of the place.
So it's not so much that it's the most spookiest of all the floors. It's the only one that's comfortable.
Yes. So that, again, guys, that comes straight from the Whisperer's Estate's website, but I'm going to be reading a little bit more about it now. It's a beautiful Victorian home, about 3,700 square feet and filled with paranormal activity from room to room. And depending on who you talk to, gets worse and worse as the years go on. Yeah.
As the years go on. So nothing's dying out there, Bob. It just keeps continuing on and on. No pun intended.
Apparently, this place is like a hotbed for, like, children ghosts, child ghosts there, right? A paranormal investigator that is investigated there has said that you might hear the little pitter-patter of feet, maybe about 70 to 80 pounds, running around the house. And instead of, like, hearing light footsteps, it's almost like a loud stomping. And it's very heavy and menacing. Some say that the entities there like to bite, growl, and push people in the Whisperer's Estate. So not a very friendly place.
No, it doesn't sound like Bob. It's not something I would, I don't know if it's a place I would stay.
I got more.
You got more?
We do. We got a caller.
We do have a caller. I didn't
answer.
Let's
take it live.
You want to take it live?
Let's take it live.
We'll take it live.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hey, so would Bob After Dark be interested in staying at Whispering Estates?
I would love to. Are you offering, John?
Well, you know what? How does that work then? Anybody could go there?
You book a reservation.
Just like any other hotel, right?
Yeah, it's you book a reservation and you go down there with a paranormal investigative team.
So there's no strings attached where you have, not everybody's going to go to this hotel. So, I mean, they don't ask questions why you're coming there.
No, it's not like a hotel where you stay at, John. You're booking like a tour to go stay there as like a paranormal investigation. Or I guess if you wanted to stay at like a nice Victorian place, they'll also deliver pizza to you. I have to point out the pizza part.
Now I'm sold.
Well, that's a good reason to stay overnight then, huh?
I would say so. I'm going to drive my 4 hours down to this part of Indiana, which is called Mitchell, Indiana.
So there are actual people, obviously, that can stay overnight? Or
yeah, absolutely. You want to go down, John? We could book a trip.
Hey, Bob? At this point, I'm willing to do anything.
John, Panic, you want to take a family trip?
Why
we're going to go down to Whisperer's Estate?
Why not, Bob?
Now, John, I got some other, you got another question for me, because if not, I got more about the house that might freak you out.
No, that's it. I'll be listening.
Okay, thanks, John, for calling in, as always.
Now, Bob, nothing you say from here on out will change my mind. You told me free pizza, and I am sold on that?
You book the room and on their website, and keep in mind, I've never visited the Whisperer's Estate website prior to me doing this episode.
Uh-huh.
But you go there and they have a link that says the pizza experience, and they'll deliver pizza right to the third floor for you.
Only the third floor?
And there's a specific pizza company involved with it, but I'm not going to mention them because they don't sponsor my show.
Okay.
They could sponsor my show, Papa John's. All right. And Cough Cough.
Oh. Yeah. All right. That doesn't sound bad.
No.
But you said there's something terrifying that I should know about.
Okay, so here's the terrifying part. Rachel Gibbons, which was the adopted daughter of John and Jesse Gibbons, is one of the children that are believed in the house to be haunted. And in rooms in the house, there's going to be times when you might see jacks being thrown, which is, you know, little plastic toys, or giant balls might roll into the room without anybody pushing it in. You might just be sleeping in a room and you might look up and like a beach ball might just roll into your bedroom where you're sleeping.
Just like that.
Just like that.
No explanation whatsoever.
Yeah.
Oh.
If it says that if the ball rolls into the room, you're supposed to roll it back and actually play with Rachel. Most investigators have like fallen in love with this spirit.
I could see why here, but Bob, I don't know if I'm going for this, but I demand some sleep. I need to rest, and now he's got this beach ball blowing into my room.
Yes.
Maybe I take back what I said about the pizza. Maybe it's not enough for me to stay there. But is that the worst that could happen, Bob?
I think pretty much, yeah. Oh, I mean, minus the idea of maybe getting kind of slapped around by a spirit.
All right. That's not... I mean, when we're saying slapped around by a spirit, do we mean like really slapped around or just light slapping?
People have gotten handprints, apparently, from this place.
Never mind. We don't want that.
I got another account I wanted to read. Some guests that sleep in Jesse's master bedroom report waking up in the middle of the night, labored breathing, and coughing. The most common paranormal activity that has been reported in the master bedroom is the closet doorknob, like I said, will frequently jiggle, suddenly stop, and then the closet door will reopen. Now imagine, as we were talking about in the story before about this closet, imagine it opening every time, and then every time you have to get up to close it, and it just keeps doing that over and over again. In my opinion, that's the worst kind of haunting, because that's called inconveniencing me. Now I have to get up and close the door because I don't want to sleep with the closet door open. Never been that type of person in my life. I hate it. So
really?
Now that's the, in my opinion, that's the worst part about this haunting in the Whispers Estate, is because I'm going to be annoyed via this stupid thing. This closet door being open. I'm going to hear it and it's going to drive me nuts. I'm going to tell the ghost to leave and it's still going to be hanging around because that's just my life.
No, for sure, Bob. You gotta put these folks in their place, Bob. I mean, you need your sleep.
You know, the flip side of that is some people say that when they sleep in the third bedroom, they're getting, you know, freakishly horrible nightmares, and they feel like somebody's gonna open up their door in the middle of the night. That part would annoy me. Nightmares, that's a part of the norm at this point. That don't bother me, but. But seeing, you know, the other thing is like these couches and beds start shaking violently. Man, that sounds like a massage.
No charge.
No charge. That's a no coin op a massage bed.
Not bad at all. I'll take it. And plus the pizza?
Yeah.
What more can you ask for?
You get to one of the magic finger beds.
Yeah,
they're called.
Sure.
And some people say that this giant shadow thing lurks around the house as well. And I mean, that's kind of a downer. If you were to ask me, like, what's the scariest part of the house, I'd probably say it's probably that shadow thing that's lurking about. It's the last thing I want to deal with is a giant shadow-like entity that's hanging around there that apparently is, you know, still hanging around. And apparently John Gibbons was burying amputated limbs and various other entrails in the backyard, so who knows what the backyard's got going on back there on top of the three graves that are there. This place sounds legitimately haunted. It's the making of every paranormal haunted movie I've ever seen in my life. It's got every trope imaginable.
So at first it seemed like a not too bad a place, but now you're telling me there's a lot more menacing things there than I thought there was to begin with. So
yeah,
maybe not the best place to stay at.
Probably not.
No.
No.
Well, people do it. People still go. They go get the pizza. They stay in a nice air conditioned or heated room, and they get slapped in the face. All for their troubles. All for their troubles.
Yeah. And we were talking a little bit about the people that have stayed in the house since, and however the family story with the doctors have been, the Gibbons and his family, was a tragic tale about his, you know, little girl, Rachel, that unfortunately was caught in a freak fire. But other people over the years have died as well. We were talking about the gentleman who lived in the estate in the 60s when they fell from the upstairs bedroom, and later a young boy died mysteriously from falling down a front staircase. The Whispers estate was recently renovated in 2006, and during its restoration, strange activity was reported. Whispers estate earned its name due to the guests reportedly hearing these disembodied voices whispering in their ear throughout the stay, jumping from spot to spot throughout the house. Mm. Now, that's not where our story ends, Count Panic.
I mean, there's more.
There is, because according to the Chicago Tribune,
they're never wrong.
The Whispers estate was actually up for sale recently.
Really?
For only $130,000, this house could have been yours.
I'm surprised you know who didn't buy it for that money. That's a good deal.
I don't think he wants to come to Indiana. He's already done this once. I don't think he wants to come back. Yeah. Don't give him any ideas. He probably would have bought it.
That's not a bad price, though.
But you could have actually bought it right from Realtor.com. This was written... Oh, geez, I lost the date already. But you could have bought the mansion was up for sale, and when it was up for sale, you could have bought this for $130,000 only. And, I mean, the house is gorgeous. You look at pictures of it, and it screams like that old, like, mansion-y feel. It's got, you know, all wooden areas and stuff like that. So it's definitely an interesting house that, you know, you could have bought for $130,000.
Bob, I mean, that's a steal these days, Bob.
Oh, apparently, according to Andy in the chat, it says it's up for sale right now. The article's recent.
Well, Bob, you know what?
So for $130,000, you could buy the Whispers estate. That's almost better than that haunted prison in Florida that was for sale recently.
Are you tempted, Bob? Are you tempted to maybe
$130,000's a great price for a house in this market, let me tell you.
Yeah.
You know, you're not gonna ghost's gonna scare me away. Come on. Ain't gonna bother me. $130,000 pizza.
They'll throw in a pizza. Get slapped a little bit.
Oh jeez. Kyle Panic, do you have anything you want to add to our story this evening?
Well, I'm just saying, I know Pete says he's going to go there, so I can't wait to see his report back from that place. But I'm curious. I'm curious. The third floor, got to stay. It's going to be summertime, so you want to stay in the air conditioning, of course, and get some pizza there. But I don't know, Bob. It's one of those things, and it's a great deal, I think. It's a fantastic deal.
$130,000 is a steal for any house in this market.
Still, it comes with the ghost, right? It comes with the ghost. So I don't know what to do anymore with that stuff. But something to be considered, Bob. It's something to be considered. But you would flourish in a place like that.
It just sounds like a natural place. Yeah. As long as things don't bother me, I won't bother them.
Yeah, no, for
That's my rule of thumb. When something's kicking around the house that's bugging me, I'll just go away.
All right.
Leave me alone. I am trying to sleep. Do not open up that closet door. That would be my biggest gripe.
Yeah. Don't open it.
I guess I just want to end this by saying I think the story is like the perfect setup for a haunted house story, right? Mm. Original family that, well, maybe not the original, but the family that bought the house and was getting ready to live in it had a lot of tragedy that happened, and now there's spirits trapped inside. People died in the house due to some, you know, ill-tamed medical practices. In the backyard, apparently, there's body limbs and entrails buried back there. There's some graves of full bodies being buried back there. Mm. Since that, people that live there have died. It's the makings of a perfect haunted house.
Sounds like it, Bob.
My question is, Count Panic, and this is just playing devil's advocate, does the house become haunted because of the stories? Do you make up the haunting in your own mind due to the fact of all the history that went on there?
Well, that's a tough one, Bob, because, okay, so in order for a house to be haunted, you would need stories about the house. But can you create ghosts in your mind? But everybody's sharing these same experiences together, aren't they, Bob? If that's the case, the house already comes haunted then. It's not just one person's experience, is it? It's a shared experience with many people in this one building that's obviously haunted, so they're taking it from that. Bob, you can't make that up. The place is haunted, Bob. The place is haunted. You can't make that up. It can't be a figment of your imagination. Not for everybody, at least.
I would say, for the devil's advocate's sake, that maybe perhaps a story like this would make things you know, haunted. Do we have another caller?
Yeah, you want to take it live?
Let's just take it live. It's probably Jack.
Well, we don't know for sure.
It's probably Jack.
Find out.
Caller, you're on the air.
It's not Jack.
It's Jack.
It's not Jack.
It's Jack.
Oh, it is?
Jack. All right. It's Jack.
Jack, you're on the air.
Did you hear Zach Bagans is buying Whispers of Fate? I'm just kidding.
Jack. Jack, listen. You and I are friends. We're good friends, Jack. We're colleagues in the paranormal world. And you called into a show where I have every right to give the producer a signal for him to hang up on you.
Uh-oh.
Hello, Jack. What's on your mind this week, buddy?
Nothing. I want to say hi, guys. And I did miss the beginning of the show. Did you make any certain announcements?
Are you talking about Small Town Monsters? Because I had a whole monologue about it.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed the beginning.
We could do it over again.
We could do it. You know, this past week, this past Sunday, I was featured in a I'm being featured in a documentary. Jack's going to be on that documentary, too. That part I didn't add.
Oh.
So, no, there you go. Jack and I are both going to be in the documentary.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to be in that. But I really wanted to say, well, congratulations to you, Bob.
Oh.
That's awesome.
Well, thank you, Jack, and you, too.
Yeah.
You're,
I think your experience with that is pretty incredible, and it's probably the most profound of the experiences that I've read about pertaining to the Chicago Phantom.
You're not going to hear about that until December 7th, folks. Now, Jack, actually, while I got you on the phone, if I can pick your brain for a quick second while you're listening to the story of have you ever heard of the Whispers Estate before we talk?
I have not, no.
Well, do you find the story interesting at least?
Yeah, definitely.
Now, in your opinion, and this is just like, as far as the story goes, this is a classic haunted house story, right? You know, as
right.
I was just saying, family buys, family moves in the house, tragedy strikes the owners after the fact, right? My question is, to the paranormal investigators that go there now for investigations, is the house legitimately haunted? Or is it the stories involved with the house that makes it haunted? Does that make sense?
That's like asking what came first, the chicken or the egg?
Right. No, I mean, it has the makings of every haunted experience. You got trapped energy in a place, a lot of tragedy, a lot of negative emotions kind of trapped into one thing. And
well,
I mean,
hard to say, Bob. Like, what, do you think maybe the place is ripe for a haunting, and people believing it so much, and so many people going there that some sort of psychic blast, you know, just ignited these hauntings.
And it's very possible.
That, you know, this psychic outpour in conjunction with the residual energy that was already there from what happened before, perhaps the combination.
Well, I mean, it's definitely a thought, Jack.
You know, Whispers of State is not too far from Effingham, Illinois, even though I know Whispers is in Indiana.
Yes.
And I did interview someone for my book.
Is that book coming out ever?
Yes, it's coming out. Okay.
No. I'm just giving you crap. Jack, you can come right back at me with a laundry list of things that I haven't done yet. Hey, Bob, is your Patreon launching yet? Hey, Bob, is your TikTok launching yet? Hey, Bob, remember that time you said you're going to post every article to the Children of the Night for people to read? Hey, Bob, when's that website coming? Hey, Bob, when are you going to be splitting up the podcast into two separate parts of the episode? I mean, there's a laundry list.
Excellence takes time.
Hey, Bob, when are you going to do that list of paranormal researchers or investigators or groups all throughout the Midwest that you said you were going to do?
I forgot about that. Thanks for re-adding more things to my never-ending list, Jack.
Put it on the list.
Put it on the list, Bob.
Put it on.
What was I going to say? Oh, so yeah, they had this profound experience in Effingham, Illinois, which is not too far from Whispers of States, and they saw a creature that was about 7 feet tall, hairless, pale, emaciated looking, kind of hunched over, scurrying at a cemetery that's in Effingham. And then you have that in the west side of Whispers of Satan, and then to the east is Hammer Cave, and to the south is a national forest that has had paranormal activity as well. So, you know, it's kind of surrounded by a couple different things there. So
sure.
It is ripe. It is definitely ripe for a haunting.
Absolutely. And I think the story itself, as far, like I said, as far as every trope imaginable for a classic haunted house story, Whispers of State, I'd say, hits every checklist. Tragic death, family dying, people dying in the house. After that, people keep dying in the house. It fits everything, guys. Everything.
Just geographic location.
Yeah, exactly. Out in the middle of nowhere, spooky Victorian mansion. You know, I get it 100%. Strange medical practices being practiced on the property itself. Apparently a graveyard of limbs. I mean, that's just it's everything you could want in a paranormal story.
There have been Sasquatch sightings not too far from Whistler's estate as well. So there you go.
Yeah. Jack, thanks for calling in. I really appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Panic.
All right, Jack.
Guys. See ya.
Have a good one.
Good to hear from
It's always
good
nice
to hear
to
from Jack.
Absolutely. Account Panic.
You wrote the foreword to his book. Coming
I'm
out,
writing so. His foreword to his book.
You haven't finished the foreword.
I need to get the foreword done.
I was going to say, how could Jack put his book out if the foreword's not done?
Jack needs to finish the book and then tell me, hey, I need a foreword.
Oh, really?
I'll write the foreword.
Maybe he's waiting for you to write the foreword. To write the book.
That's fine. I'll write the foreword. Jack, I'm going to write the foreword. I'll forward you the foreword.
All right. And as always, I'll write the backward.
God. Do you have anything else you want to add?
Bob?
Yes, Cam.
I think I'll just stay at the Motel 6.
The Motel 6. That's haunted.
No pizza either.
You get it delivered.
Yeah, I guess so.
Folks, thank you for watching and listening to another episode of Bob After Dark. To my mom and dad, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And to Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I just want to wish you the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are, not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.